My favorite time of year. Conference tournament. This will determine NCAA bids. This is the Coach Brendan Sir with another edition of our Coaching You podcast. And today, Bob Marlin, the head coach of the University of Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns, the best team in the state of Louisiana right now. They have just done a heck of a job in their conference. Now they're getting ready for this weekend, three game hopefully, to take it to the NCAA tournament. This is a special team with a veteran transfer-led team with a great coach. I think you're really going to enjoy listening to Coach Bob Marlin on his philosophy of putting a team together and what his thoughts are on basketball. He's one of our best friends in coaching, one of our trusted confidants, and one of the people that we really think the world of as a basketball man. So sit back, enjoy, and learn from Bob Marlin. Hey, let's take a second to tell you about one of our partners, Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish basketball shooting machines are the most high-tech and durable basketball shooting machines on the market today. Each shooting machine was designed specifically for high repetition training to allow players to improve through technology. Dr. Dish offers game-like training to give hundreds of shooting reps in just minutes and to provide powerful analytics to help players improve their game. Dr. Dish has also introduced Skill Builder, which is the first of its kind in basketball shooting industry that enables coaches and players to stay connected, design and upload training exercises that combine shooting, conditioning, and ball handling into one complete workout, and instantly receive feedback on their workout, allowing for real-time adjustments and improved performance. It is without question the most innovative basketball training machine on the market. It's been the official shooting machine of Coaching You for the last 2 years. To learn more about Dr. Dish, log on to drdishbasketball.com or follow them on Twitter at drdishbball. As I mentioned in my opening, we're so excited to have not just a great coach today, but a dear friend in Bob Marlin, the head coach at the University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, and the best team in the state of Louisiana. Doesn't that sound good, Robert?
It does. We've been successful all years, and we can lay claim to that from our record and also from our RPI.
It's amazing, you know, and I've gotten a chance to watch you guys work out and play and stuff. You know, I look at it and I walk out of there, and I'm not going to mention teams, but I've seen top Power 5 teams that I have worked with and gone to practice with this year, and Big 12 conference and Big 10 conference. And you got athletes that are better than them. They're look more fit. They're really ready to go. And that is a tribute to your staff and the way you've recruited, and also the way you've developed these guys.
We're certainly big on player development, like most programs. And one of the compliments that I've had, Brendan, over my career, starting back at San Houston State, was you have a guy that's unrecruited, basically, or low rated recruit, and he winds up being a first team all league guy as a senior, and other coaches at our spring meetings would say every year, man, your guys get better.
Wow.
And we've always taken that as a compliment. And but player development's huge in our program. We're not going to get the five-star kid on a regular basis, and we've got to get a young man that we can work with that wants to be successful, wants to be coached, and will get in the gym with us and work. But we take a lot of pride in that.
Bob, what's the key to your coaching, you know, from a philosophy standpoint? What do you do that makes you, well, I don't want to say different than other people. It doesn't matter what you do differently, but what makes you successful in your eyes? What are the things that you do?
Well, from a philosophical standpoint, we try to recruit good young men that want to be better students and better players, and they want to fit in with the team, and we spend a lot of time with them. I try to make my relationship important with a young man, and so we get a trust factor going, and they know that I care about them. And at the end of the day, that's the relationships will stay forever. You know, we've got a great group of seniors this year. We're going to lose them, but it won't end our relationship with them. I can assure you of that. So just giving time to the guys, trying to motivate them, Brendan, making them feel like they can be better, and giving them confidence on a daily basis.
Bob, I noticed that in going over and watching your kids, I loved even last week when I came, I loved the leadership of your older kids. And then when you pointed out, and I haven't gotten to know the kids a little bit in September, you have four starters that I believe that are transfers, and they come from good programs. They're good kids. Explain the philosophy and how I think you and a couple other programs have had amazing success carefully using not grad transfers, but regular transfers.
Well, we have taken a couple of grad transfers in the past. One worked out, was a big success. The other one was not. And I've tried to steer away from grad transfers when I can. This past year, we had an opportunity to take a transfer from BYU, Frank Bartley, who we recruited. He's a Baton Rouge guy and New Orleans guy. And we recruited him out of high school. Went to prep school in California. We recruited him again. We lost him to BYU. We were trying to pair him with Alfred Payton and Sean Long to give us the big three, if you will, when they were still playing. And wound up, Frank called, wanted to come back home to play with Jonathan Stove, one of his younger teammates at Christian Life in Baton Rouge, after 2 years. And we met. I talked with Dave Rose, the coach and a friend at BYU, and he had nothing but great things to say about Frank, really liked him as a person and a player, did not want him to leave, but understood that he wasn't getting the minutes that he might get at another program. And as you know, with BYU, you're going to get trumped by those guys on missions every other year as well as their recruiting. So it's hard to get minutes there from an experience standpoint. But Frank came back with us and actually paid his own way the first year. We did not have a scholarship available, and he did that. He worked hard and became eligible last year, started for us, led us in scoring as a junior, and made third-team All-League. He was a Sun Belt Conference Newcomer of the Year. And then this past year, in our recruiting, we came across another young man, a wing player named Malik Marchetti from Compton, California, went to Long Beach Millikan High School, and he had Louisiana ties. He was going to leave Southern Cal. He had been a team captain as a sophomore, but had been behind a couple of guys they had signed. They were getting better as a team, and he was looking to play more. And his high school coach actually was also from Louisiana, from Lake Charles, a guy named Chris Francis. So we didn't know Chris, but we certainly have bonded and got a great relationship now. And Chris left Lake Charles 25 years ago, Brendan, went to California to go play basketball, wound up staying out there and then becoming a coach and a very successful high school coach. And we talked with Chris, and Malik came and visited. He was going to visit a couple other Power Five programs along with us, and came, liked it. The weather was certainly different from Los Angeles, but we got him to come. And then the next guy that popped up on the radar was Jakeenan Gant, who was leaving Missouri. And our tie there was, I'm good friends with Steve Shields and Kim Anderson, a couple of coaches that were there that worked with him. But the main tie was Jay Wright, our point guard from last year and the Defensive Player of the Year in the Sun Belt Conference. He played with Jakeenan at Effingham County High School over in Georgia. And they had a great relationship. And Jakeenan was going to go to Clemson at one time. And at the end, it fell through. And he came with us last year on without even visiting, got him to come over the telephone. And he decided he was coming. And then 3 days later, I get a call from an AAU coach that said, "Coach, what are you looking for next year?" And I said, "Well, we're losing one senior in Jay Wright." He said, "Well, I've coached Jay Wright and worked him out and know he's a good player, but this guy's a different type of point guard." And it was Marcus Stroman. And he said Marcus is going to walk on maybe at Coastal Carolina, which was in our league.
Sure.
So the young man called us, and we were able to get it worked out in a couple of days. And he was a really good student, had over a 3.0 at South Carolina, and came in and has done a really fantastic job for us. So we were fortunate. We didn't really go into it looking to build a roster like that, but it happened, and all these guys had a sit-out year where they were able to practice and get better every day, and they all worked extremely hard. They took advantage. They'd been in a big program. They knew how to work and take advantage of the resources, and they got better. And this year, those three have teamed up with Frank to give us four guys that have made a good team a great team.
Yeah, and I think that maturity that transfers get is invaluable. You know, kids coming in thinking they can play as freshmen at this level, it's so difficult. You have to be so exceptional to be able to play at any collegiate level.
You really do. And the year that these guys set out and lifted weights, developed their bodies, worked on their skills, you know, we spent a lot of time with them too, even though they were sitting out, as far as individual player development.
Let me ask you, from a basketball standpoint, has your philosophy evolved over the years? Or are you doing similar things that you've done always throughout your incredibly successful career as a head coach?
I think it's a combination of both, Brendan. That's a great question. We were doing a drill a few years ago, and one of my coaches said, "Coach, why are we doing this?" You know, and when I started coaching in college, there was no three-point line, mm-hmm. and the shot clock was 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. So there's been quite a change that's gone on, and it definitely changes the way you coach your team. So a few standard things that we've always done, we continue to do defensively and offensively. We want to play fast. We've always done that. We're going to continue to do that. I like to recruit players that want to get up and down the floor. I know our fans enjoy seeing fast action. And as a coach, I like to coach players that want to run and get out in front. So we're going to always push the basketball and try to score. And then defensively, we want to make sure that we've got a good rebounding group and a team that is going to contest shots and try to give the other opponent a low field goal percentage.
You know, in playing in the Sun Belt, which is really one of the real underrated conferences in the country, you know, when I believe you have, you know, when you have as many teams as you do and you go and you're playing two road games at a time, or you have two home games, you know, in another week, it's different. And so how is that to play, let's say, Thursdays, Saturdays in preparation for you?
It's something that I've done before at Sam Houston State. We in the Southland Conference, we played many years on Thursday, Saturday. So certainly the first game on Thursday, you have 3 days to prepare for it, and then you've got a quick turnaround with 1 day prep for right. Saturday. And we've always had a lot of success. I've coached against guys, Brendan, and you have too, I'm sure, that on Thursday night they're really good, but on Saturday their teams just aren't as good for some reason. And I think it's because they're good teachers and they don't feel like they have enough time for the prep work in the scouting report to get ready. But we take pride in turning around quickly. This past summer, part of our success we felt like was a trip to Cuba. We were able to go over there and play three games in a row against the Cuban national team that's been in the States playing against Coach Van Gundy's group. And that was a great experience for us. And then we also went to the Cayman Islands with more scouting involved, as we were pretty technical. We weren't quite as thorough against the Cuban national team, but we played Iowa in the Caymans, and then the next day we played Wyoming, and the next morning we played Richmond. So three quick days in a row. I like doing that because it helps your guys prepare for your conference tournament in March.
You know, one of the things that I think in college, you know, contrary to popular belief compared to the NBA, you have a lot of time to practice preseason and now in the summers even. I think a lot of the teaching, philosophy-wise, preparation-wise, for your down the road has to be done then. You can't be teaching how you're going to defend a pick and roll against a certain opponent the day before a game. That has to been part of your overall teaching that we're going to play pick and roll one, two, or three, or four ways, whatever you're going to do philosophy-wise, that's fine. But that has to all happen earlier, correct?
Yes, it does. And then in the 4 weeks to, it's around 4 weeks now. Sure. It used to be 6 weeks when I started. But they've moved the practice date up a little bit for us. Yes. So you can start earlier again, but you have to be careful, Brendan. As you know, it's a long season and you don't want to wear your guys down. And so we give them several days off. We start early, but we take time off and make sure that they have some rest and they have their legs under them. But during that 6 week period, you've got a base of boxes that you have to check, with ball screen coverage today being one of the top ones. And we'll go over five different ways to work on ball screens, and we'll practice and practice and practice. And then once you get to this time of year, you know which one you're going to use. You may have to use two in a game. That very seldom happens. But you practice on that particular coverage on your game week and get prepared.
Fast Model Sports is the world's most versatile basketball coaching software to help power your preparation. Fast Model has developed the industry's best coaching software, including the number one play diagramming and playbook software, FastDraw. FastDraw bridges the gap between whiteboarding and the digital world with an incredibly easy-to-use interface that can be used on both your computer and your iPad, providing maximum portability for your own personal play and drill database. It doesn't stop there. Along with FastDraw, they have other great programs such as FastScout, which I have used, which helps coaches create clean professional scouting reports customized for your team. Fast Model is trusted and used by every NBA team and WNBA team and 85% of Division I college teams and over 8,000 high school and youth teams from over 75 countries around the world. In addition to a great product, they also provide basketball coaching resources through their blog and playbank, which features over 5,000 free plays and drills for their online coaching community. For access to these plays and more information, visit fastmodelsports.com or follow them on Twitter at fastmodel. One of the things I was talking yesterday to a coach and in the pros and in the summer league, professional coaches, you know, that take the players that they, you know, had playing with you during the season, they have to get them ready only for a 5-game, you know, summer season, but they have 3 days to get them ready to play games. And in, you know, the G League, let's say, which is our minor league, they have 8 days of training camp, and then they got to play. And so they talk about the efficiency of the teaching has to be amazing, but we can't do a lot of drills. We got to teach a lot of whole. How much are you as far as a whole part teacher, or are you still part whole?
Well, I've changed a little bit, and I like the whole part whole method. Mm-hmm. I believe today with the time restraints that certainly the NBA teams have, you have to play more. And some of my coaches talk all the time about we have to play 5-on-5 to get better. And you and I have seen coaches over the years, you go to a practice and, man, this group, they really look good in practice. They drill. Certain players look better than they do in the games. And then when you get to the games, the team's doesn't have the success that you think they would have. So I think there are drill coaches and they teach the game. And then I think there are guys that can carry that over and make adjustments in game. So I would rather play 5-on-5 and teach with more people involved. The most that we can. We do a lot of breakdown work.
Sure.
We try to play 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think development stuff is great for breakdown, if you know what I mean. When I'm doing team stuff, what I've found now with our young group, we used to call them millennials, but now they're the old guys. Millennials are like, you know, the guys that are coaching on your staff now. You know, now the generation IYZ, as we call them, the kids that have grown up now on the phones and everything, the devices, their attention span is differently, and they're very visual. But you know what I find is transfer of learning, which we always used to talk about in education, they struggle with that. So I remember once, a long time ago, this is how great Chuck Daly was. He was able to sit down, and I came from the UB Brown, Mike Fratello defensive school, the best in the NBA. And when I went with Chuck, he says, I like that. That's really good. But now I want you to take all those four-man shell drills, and I want you to make them five-man drills. I said, we never did five-man drills, Chuck. What do you want me to do? He says, take the best offenses in the NBA, and that's going to be our shell drills. And I went, oh, my God. So that's when I changed everything. So now we're running against the best plays that you play against in any league, and that's our shell once we teach fundamentals. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's a great way to go about doing things. And it makes me think about the last question, Brendan, and the pick and roll coverages. We put in the base coverages that we're going to use and try to stay current on everything. We really look at a lot of video, watch a lot of NBA because we think that's the best basketball in the world. And those guys are outstanding teachers. And we feel like we have what we need going in. But during the season, even at this time of year in our scouting, if we see another team does a different coverage that we've never seen before and has success with it, then that's what we'll try to implement for that certain game. So you continue to take from others. But I've heard of our friend Kevin Eastman, I remember a long time ago, told me that during the summertime they would take the plays from a different team in their league. And the actions that they would defend, be it cross screen, down screen, back screen, ball screen, what have you, they each would have a name and it would go toward that team.
Yep.
And when they called that team's name out, they know that that's their bread and butter. So I think when you steal and go against another team's offense, like you're talking about for a 5-on-5, it's an awesome idea.
Yeah, no, and the naming part, you know, I laugh when I go and watch coaches do scouts, and all of a sudden they're doing them, and they're calling them the name of that the other team is calling them, you know, one up. Like, you want your team to learn their plays? It's impossible. They don't even know my plays, you know. So, you know, so now what we did is we gave them names so that they would understand. It's almost like having a defensive system. This is how we're going to defend the 15, whatever the 15 is, or the 7 play, whatever. It's your own language, and that's what I think is so critical in coaching. Do you have your own language for your staff? How do you get – how does – it's so important to have everyone on your staff on the same thing. How does that go about? And I know you have your guys. The key thing, of course, is the people that you have or have been with you.
Right. The guys that have been with me the longest certainly know how I think and my terminology and what we want to do as a program. We talk about it as a staff, and we'll make changes sometimes to stay current for the new group and the younger generation. And I think that's one thing. Even my son said, Brendan, is that, Dad, you know, the one thing that keeps you being successful is your ability to change. And he says some coaches won't change or adapt, but you do. And I took that as a compliment, especially coming from my own son who played for me as a walk-on.
No, he's 100% right. And the ones that don't change are really in trouble, I think, Bob.
Yes, but terminology is something. We don't have a book with the terminology.
Right.
Our guys just understand it. We know we've talked enough, and like when we visited with you, and we learned a couple of different terms. If we like a term differently, then we'll change it. But it's easy for me to remember certain things, Brendan, and I use my terminology, and I make the assistant coaches and the players learn the play that I call. If sometimes I'll take a play from another school, we've got a play that we call Boston.
Right.
I got it from the Celtics when Larry Bird played. And so we've always called that play Boston. and that's how I remember it. And the players, you certainly pick it up and they can remember anything. So that's how we go about with our terminology.
No, I think that's excellent. Now, you and I spend you know, a couple of days every August together at the University of Florida, you know, trying to learn and stuff like that. And we have a wonderful you know, visit. I call it almost a think tank, you know, that Larry Shiat and Billy Donovan have, you know, done for years now. Mike White, and Shai have, you know, taken it over. And I always look forward to that, you know, for many reasons. You go all the time. Why?
The same thing. First of all, I love the people there.
Yeah.
I've met so many different people, Brendan, from across the world, but across the country especially, on different levels of basketball. And we had a speaker this past year from Canada. I'm super impressed with this young man and the way he went about his offensive philosophy. But just a chance to get together at a great time. Recruiting's over. You're just about to start school, or you may have already started class right there at the middle of the end of August. And it gets your mind thinking about your team. And as we know, so many times you go to a clinic and you hear something, and it's just a reaffirmation of something that you're thinking. And, you know, I want to do this. And then you see another guy like yourself or a Kevin Eastman or someone, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, talk about it. And it certainly validates your thinking and gets you to go back and get excited about teaching. So I've always been in a recruiting mode. We came back this year and went to August, first week of August, went to Cuba. And, you know, got to put our team together, which was great because those transfers we talked about earlier were able to shake the rust off a little bit and play, and a couple of them struggled. And then as we got back and started school, I wanted to start thinking about how can I make this team better? And when you go talk with great basketball minds down there and other successful coaches in a real small environment, it's very healthy for me.
I think so. And as our friend Coach Wooden used to say, it's what you learn after you think you know it all that's going to make you a better coach, teacher, parent, et cetera, you know.
Exactly, Brendan. And I think I've been doing this a while like you, and I love to watch clips and be it on your phone or go to clinics and learn. I'm always reading. You know, Kevin Eastman got me wanting to read more and try to learn and do things that will help not only yourself but help your players and put them in position to be successful. So I think I study now more than I did when I was younger.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more, because now I'm trying to find one of those drugs where I can get like 30 years younger, but then I come back. I might go to coach in the Sun Belt, get my ass kicked for a couple of years, but then I'm going to get you finally, Bob. But one of the things that, one of the things that I'm fascinated by, is the tournament. Now, you're going in, as the top seed, let's say, in a tournament where your players have played every team twice, or just about twice, you know, and now you're going in there and would you get a double bye, I guess, in your tournament?
We used to. They just changed it last year, so we'll actually get a single bye as well as three other teams. So we'll have to win three games in three days again, going back to Cuba and the Caymans.
Okay, that's perfect. Okay, and because you're basically a top seed, you know when you're going to play, you know, like 11:30, let's say, the first day, et cetera. How does the preparation, how do you go into that? You're playing on a neutral court. How do you prepare a team just to help out guys that are coaching at high school, other colleges right now? What's your mindset for that?
Well, you want to stay somewhat in your normal routine. Make sure that when you start practice, if you play, we'll play on Friday. Mm-hmm. Our routine has been to take off Sunday and Monday, and we'll come back and have a good day of practice Tuesday. Wednesday, we're fortunate the tournament is in New Orleans.
Not too far.
And we won't have to miss much class. We try to always limit our missed class time. So we will probably practice here around noon on Thursday and then travel over to New Orleans, and we'll play at 11:30 on Friday morning. But as far as the scouting, each coach will have different opponents. We'll know who we play on Wednesday night before, and that'll give us just one day, really Thursday, to prepare for that specific team. So we'll try to work on our strengths, keep doing the things we've been doing. It's been good to us so far, and make sure that we're ready for the opponent that we'll play on Friday. One thing we'll go back and watch, you know, both games that we played against that team, and we'll look and see if we have an advantage in an area. We're big on mismatches. We look at position by position and try to take advantage of guys that we have an advantage over. When I was a younger coach, Brendan, a really good coach that I became friends with when I was in school at Mississippi State, Murray Arnold, used to talk about different players in scouting. And he said, "Coach, when I was at Western Kentucky and I would send my guys out to scout, they would come back and I would say, okay, how many positions are we better than this team?"
Right.
And I, you know, it's easier in conference, but when you go to the NCAA tournament and say, if we're fortunate enough to get there and we play Clemson again or some team that's really strong, they're going to be better than us at two or three positions, you know. And if you're not as strong, then you're going to have to do something different. So we certainly look at that as well with our conference and advantages that we can create opportunities for our guys in the scout. And then also we'll throw a new wrinkle in. We've really worked the second half of the season and we haven't used a lot of them, but we have different counters to our offense.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You know, certainly teams know you better. The old saying, your conference opponents are like your neighbors and they know you better than anybody. So we'll work on those counters and try to slip in a new out-of-bounds play, a new wrinkle on offense or defense.
I love that. I love that. My friend, it has been amazing to watch your team, to watch a master coach in action. You're one of the very best in the country. I've thought that for years. I'm glad I never had to coach against you, thank God. But, you know, you're really special. And the thing I took away watching you last week in practice was, and I told this to a dear friend of both of ours, I said, he coaches the way I hope I would coach. He's unbelievable at his relationships. He loves his players. And guess what? His players love him back. You know, my friend, you're very special, and I wish you the best of luck down the stretch here, and I know the Raging Cajuns are going to have a great finish.
Well, I appreciate it, Brendan, and look forward to seeing you again soon and picking up a few more nuggets from you.
I can't wait to come to Lafayette. It is the gem of our great state.
Well, we certainly think so. A lot of great people here and certainly good food, and the people enjoy life over here, that's for sure.
I do. Thank you again, Bob. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Brendan.
Love Bob Marlin, and if you ever get a chance to go to Lafayette, you will love Lafayette also. It is one of the gems of our state in Louisiana. It is a spectacular place. And, you know, I think one of the things that comes across with Bob is this guy is all about people, his players, and man can he teach and coach. So I think it's a great lesson. And watch his team as they go forward. You know, the University of Louisiana is a powerhouse. Forget what their league is. Forget anything else. They can play with anyone. And hopefully they'll get a chance to prove it in the NC2A. Remember, Coaching You Live, VIP experience, July 9 and 10. Go on to coachingyoulive.com. Register. We only have a couple of weeks left now for our Early Bird special, March Madness special. $349. $349 gets you all the videos, all the food, courtside seating, you know, Pat Folio, Dry Fit Coaching You shirt, an incredible network from NBA coaches. I think you're really going to love it. It's going to be our 10th anniversary special. Look forward to it. And again, as you're going through March Madness and you get this whim of getting your on season of learning, go on to coachingyou.tv, get some videos. We got some great specials coming up. All right. Thank you so much. This is the coach, Brendan Sir. Until next week.